When I get the opportunity to speak, it's always a little bit of a struggle for me. Not always, most of the time. It's like, because then the minute I'm asked, it's like, okay, what am I going to speak on? And sometimes, like, if I'm asked a couple hours before, which happens sometimes, right, Pastor has something come up, it's almost easier then, because then it's like on the fly, like, okay, just whatever's God's got on my heart at the time, that's what I talk about, and we go with it. But if I got a little bit of time to prepare, I'm always kind of like, what should I do? Like, I feel like I should put effort. You know, and sometimes I just overthink it, and then, you know, and it dribbles in, and all the other responsibilities I have, and it's like, God, you still didn't give me anything. Like, what am I going to talk on? And, but there's like, you have one of those baseline scriptures for your Christianity and your walk with God. I think you probably know what one of mine is. I mean, I have my favorite verse I've shared with you, Romans 4:21. But I got this passage of scripture for like our life with Christ. And you've heard me speak on it a ton of times because God really has just impressed this passage on my heart probably a little over 10 years ago. And so I've spoke on it a lot, and I am going to speak on it from this morning. I want to focus on a little piece of it. But before I even say, does anybody know where I'm going to go? Yep, Ephesians 4. Of course, Lita, her and I were kind of talking about it this week a little bit via text, and it's been fun watching her grow in the Lord. So flip with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And the thing I like about this passage is I have a manufacturing background. And so in manufacturing, everything's about a methodical process. By the way, before I jump into that, and as you're turning to Ephesians 4, it's October. What's October? Pastor Appreciation Month. And it's a great time to talk about it because he's not here, right? We can talk about our pastor. So great way to show appreciations with cash. So I put an offering plate on top of the printer back there. Everybody turn around and wave at Liam and look at the offering plate at the end of the table. All right. Yeah. So in addition to cash, I do know that Pastor loves food, and he's really, you know, sometimes he's got a little bit of few picky quirks when you go out to eat with him, but he's really not picky. Like, he eats pretty much anything. Even fruitcake. Where's Helen? Is Helen still here? She's sneak out. She's with the little ones. So he literally likes fruitcake. I'm like, what's wrong with you? So if you think about, you know, you get the opportunity to take him out to dinner, or have him over for dinner, bring him a pie. He loves that type of stuff. He loves cards. He likes to get a card and know that he's thought about and stuff like that. But cash is always nice too. So we'll get a community card and we'll put some cash in it. If you can contribute, the plate's back there. If you're not prepared to do that today, just get it to Harry and he'll get it in his card. And at the end of the month, we'll give him a card with some cash in it. Okay. Thinking about Pastor, we're pretty blessed, aren't we? I was just thinking about all the aspects of his leadership this morning as I was just preparing. And, you know, we don't have a run-of-the-mill pastor. I'm thankful for that. You know, there's a lot of churches this morning where they're going and they're just running through the mechanics of their service and it's mundane. Man, I think about, like, we had this IEGM conference this year. Like, he does not settle for status quo. Anybody that knows Pastor G, he does not settle for status quo. And is always pushing for the next thing and talking about the vision and how can we do what we're doing better. And he really is. He takes his call so seriously and he takes it to heart. But, you know, I think they moved out here in 99, something like that. And so he's been here 25 years now. He's president of IEGM. President of Safe Water Ghana. He's the owner of Legacy Insurance. He's the commander of the American Legion. And then in addition to that, of course, you know, leads his family. And then to know him as a friend is to have a personal counselor, a business coach, and he actually coaches quite a few people in the community, and recently has been encouraging people to get LLCs and start new companies. I know of at least three over the last couple months, brand new companies have started because of his encouragement. And then, of course, you know, once in a while, a fishing buddy to talk sports with and just joke with. And you know, if you spend some time with him, you're going to get a story from his childhood, right? Like, the guy just, like, lives life to the nth degree. So I don't know about you, but I certainly appreciate our pastor. All right, you over to Ephesians chapter 4 yet? I gave you enough time to get there, right? All right, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody here, and we just thank you for this congregation and all that you're doing. And God, we love you this morning, and we're just happy to be together and spend some time in your word to praise you. And we just ask you to be blessed this morning. Give us ears to hear and some content to fellowship over here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So three places in the Bible, gifts are given to the church. In this place, they're given by Christ. In Corinthians 12, they're given by the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 12, they're given by the Father. It's pretty cool that they're... Each place, there a different member of the Trinity is mentioned. But here, each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Jump down to verse 11, and we'll read down through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The thing I love about this passage is it's like the blueprint for Christianity, right? We start with Christ. God gives the church a pastor teacher. We receive our teaching from the pulpit. We're equipped for the work of the ministry, and we no longer become children, but we grow up and we mature as we receive doctrine, and that causes us to have unity of the faith, which is Jesus prayed in John 17. We know that that's his desire. So this is how church works, right? So the thing I want to take a little bit of a focus on today is verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. And by the way, just a little side note, our pastor is going to be held accountable for how he does this, for equipping us as saints. So if you've been rebuked and you've been challenged by him, as I have, know that he takes his calling very seriously, because he knows he's going to have to give an account before God. I just want to jot some verses down that show that. Hebrews 13, 17, 2 Corinthians 1, 24, and 2 Corinthians 11, 2 all show that pastor will give an account for how he equips us for the work of the ministry. But as we look at the equipping of the saints, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 14, 26. And by the way, this word ministry is diakonia, which is where we get our word deacon from. And so it's interesting, right? Because deacons minister, right? And so diakonia, our ministry. And so we see in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, that how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. See, in the Corinthian church, there was this little game that Menzel used to call beat that prayer, right? In talking about prayer services and some of the ones that, you know, kind of want to one-up each other and how they pray. And this is what was happening in the Corinthian church. Everybody is like, no, I want to share my psalm. I want my teaching. I want to share, my interpretation. And everybody kind of had their own part, which is awesome, right? That everybody has a portion to share. However, God has given a pastor teacher to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And, we actually had somebody suggest we should take turns being the pastor. Like, one will do it for a month, then we'll have another one do it for a month. And, yeah, no. Thankful that we have a senior pastor to lead us and he's faithful to his call. So the purpose you see there in that last sentence, let all things be done for edification. And that's the purpose, is that we build up the church, right? So flip back a couple chapters, chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 4 through 7. Here in this passage, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And Paul, kind of explaining here, says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The word for gift here is charisma. And it's interesting that there's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are differences of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. By the way, you see the Trinity there in 4, 5, and 6. But interesting, I never picked this out to where 4, 5, and 6, you have gifts, ministries, and activities. And so we have been given a gift, and we see later on in chapter 12, verse 18, but God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So it's not by accident that you are where you are with the gifts that you have, because you have a gift that is to be ministered through activity to the body of Christ. And together we make up the whole of the body of Christ as we serve each other and we grow connected to the head, who is Christ, right? And so you look at the diversities of our activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And so we look at, he gets into some specifics in kind of verses 7 on, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so these gifts are expressed through making ourselves available to ministry and activity, and it just flows. It's not something we got to conjure up. It's not something that, I got to try real hard to do this. And, as we spend time with God, these gifts are just natural. Some people are natural encouragers. Some people are natural helpers. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, verse 8. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he, capital H, wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is it there not? Therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. you know, we see down in verse 25 that there be no schism or division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And so we see this interrelationship within the body of Christ. And, you know, it's hard for us as Americans to really grasp the corporate aspect of the body of Christ because we're so individualistic. You know, we got to strive for myself and my place and my interests and my likes and me. And we've seen it through the magazines that, you know, the top magazines over the years. We went from, like, to Life, to U.S., to, you know, to us, to self, to, you know, me. And just the focus of our society has just continually turned individualistic. And even our government, for the military, this one baffled me for a while. There was a campaign, Army of One. And I was like, the first time I saw one of their ads, I was like, what? You know, and they showed this soldier being all cool, jumping out of helicopters and stuff like that. But, you know, the military was always about, you know, the first thing they do is buzz your head so you're all the same, right? And all of a sudden, you're Army of One, and thankfully they did away with it. Some, you know, I can't believe they even they made it as far as going to where they put the money behind the campaign to make the commercials and put them on air. But, you know, they got back to kind of a corporate strategy there for the military. But that's there's no place for our individuality in the body of Christ other than enjoying Christ and being thankful and knowing that Christ went to the cross for you. But we can really, if we get stuck there and we view all of our Christianity from an individual aspect, we can not just end up with like false doctrines, but not understand our place in the body of Christ and that our place is corporate. And, you know, and so and then when we really spend most of our time evaluating doctrine and our Christianity from an individualistic mindset, it affects our view of the character of God. Because then we start looking at, okay, I'm elect individually, but that one that hasn't received Christ is not. So God must have destined that one for hell. Well, we know that the Bible doesn't say that, right? Because God's not willing that any should perish, right? And he died for the sins of the whole world. You know, and so now we got to read carefully because he's chosen us in Christ. And we're all in Christ, each one of us, set as a member in the body of Christ with the gifts, with the ministries, with the activities to minister to one another. And so he's chosen all of us in Christ. And that's not to say that he doesn't know us individually, because the Bible does say he bottles our tears, he knows the number of hairs on our head, he knows us individualistically, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, and he cares at that level. I'm amazed sometimes at the little ways that God blesses me, knowing that there's like this kid suffering with cancer and strong, right? Like, God, who am I that you would just bless me like that, like, you know, and just some of the little ways that seem so frivolous or whatever that I'll ask for. He's blessed me with tickets to a Buffalo Bills game. I'm going up to see, you know, Kansas City play the Bills. I'm like, you know, meanwhile, they're in third world countries, right? There's, you know, people dying for the name of Christ. Like, you know, so I just look at, like, how's that even compare? But God's able to bless like that and able to help us endure the suffering, and he gives us the grace for whatever, you know, we're in at the moment. He's the God of all that, right, at each end of that spectrum. So if you flip with me to Colossians chapter 1, you know, we see in verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. We're going to read down through verse 29. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Pretty loaded passage here. Starts right out. You look at verse 25. He became a minister, right? So the Apostle Paul has his gift for the body of Christ. He has a church. He became a minister according to what? According to the stewardship of God. So God, remember, he's placed each one in the body of Christ where it pleased him. So he gave to the Apostle Paul the gift and role of an apostle. And so there was a dispensation or receiving, from God of that gift. And so Paul knows his place. When we know our place, we can have a sense of confidence. Because, we get caught in this trap of comparing ourselves to one another. And it's like, someday when I'm like that. And that's, we're in a trap if we're thinking that way. Because we're never going to be like that, because that is supposed to be like that. We are supposed to be like we, right? And so we have our place, and we need to have confidence there, because we are called to minister even if we suck, right? I'm just going to say it. You think about all your shortcomings and all the ways that you fall short. God has still given you a gift to minister to the body of Christ. And if you're waiting for some attainment to perform that gift, you're missing out. Because God has qualified you today, not because of who you are and what you've done, but because of what he did. Right? And so, Paul, we saw back in the passage in Ephesians, he's given us grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so now Paul knows that he has this, he became a minister according to the stewardship which was from God. It wasn't upon Paul. It was just what God dispensed to him. Called me to be an apostle. I was killing Christians. Nothing qualified him to be an apostle. God just made him an apostle. And so he says, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery. And so we have this mystery, and we've talked before that a mystery is something that could only be known that it was and wouldn't otherwise be known unless it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so now that we can have the indwelling Holy Spirit, because we're on this side of the cross, the Apostle Paul has this mystery revealed, and he communicates it to the church. And he says it's been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And so we have the pleasure of living on this side of the cross and understanding the mysteries of God. To them God willed, verse 27, to make known what are the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here's the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just the fact that Jesus Christ can indwell us and we can have the hope of glory is a mystery. And it's something that this was like, to the people Paul was preaching to at the time, it was just a foreign concept. That Christ could literally indwell me, and that we could have the hope of his glory. And it fascinates us today. I think as a church, though, we hear it a lot. Maybe we get familiar with it. But we should fellowship over that truth, that we have Almighty God, the Holy Trinity, living inside of us. And that he can indwell us, and that he can equip us with his grace. And we see the Apostle Paul embrace this. It's him we preach, verse 28, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may do what? Well, we saw that process back in Ephesians 4, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. So we preach in wisdom, we teach in wisdom. You know, the reason we're drilling doctrine into our kids' heads from the time before they can even talk is because the goal here is to present them mature in Christ Jesus. And that we should all grow together, enjoying our gifts, ministering them with activities, right? And so to this end, this is what Paul did. I labor. So, and look at all these words in this one verse. He labors, striving according to, capital H, his working, which works in me mightily. So what striving is there really? You know, he says he labors. This is just where I spend my time, Paul's saying. You know, striving according to his working. That word is energia. And God literally puts the energy in us to minister the gifts and minister to one another according to the power of... So the gift is from him, the power is from him, the expression of the Holy Spirit's from him. We just need to make ourselves available. But we get so resistant because we buy these lies that I'm not good enough, or I haven't done enough, or I haven't blah enough, whatever. And they're all lies because the gift is from him, the energy for the ministering is from him, and it works in us mightily if you just make yourself available to be used of God. So, so in thinking about that, if you flip back to Ephesians 4 for a second, kind of want to end with this thought. And I was thinking about Chris bringing his extension cord in here a couple weeks ago. And I was, you know, obviously thinking about the anniversary of the passing of Menzo, and how Menzo, when he spoke, he loved to use objects. And I saw him at Jeff's funeral, and others, that he would bring stuff and throw it up there on the pulpit while he spoke, right? And I kind of wanted to throw a bunch of stuff in a bag and bring it here this morning, but I think we can. You can visualize this with me, and we can kind of do this virtually. So what does, if looking at it back in Ephesians 4, the goal here of our maturity, right? So we're equipped by our pastor, teacher, in verse 12. So we're the saints, right? So we're equipped for the equipping of the saints for what? The work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. So what does a perfect mature man look like? Well, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So who's Christ? Literally, I mean, so he lived on this earth among us. Among his, you know, obviously we weren't living at the same time, but among his people. Who was he? So I was just thinking, he was a carpenter. So probably, what's an object for that? And that's what I thought of too, right? So if I would have packed a bag, I would have brought a hammer. So Jesus labored, like literal physical labor. He built stuff. You know, and so you think about that as our role, what is a mature person? Well, we don't forget the aspect that just because we're growing in Christ and we have this gift and we have Almighty God living in us, we don't forget the practical aspect of we have our place in this, in our community of laboring, right? We hit a hammer. And we see that in Matthew 13, 55, he was called a carpenter's son, and then he called a carpenter in Mark 6:3. What's another one? Somebody call out. What's an aspect of Jesus and his identity? What? Chisel? Oh, another aspect of it. He's called a rabbi. Yep, rabbi and a teacher. I had that one too. See that in John 13:13, and Mark 9:5. So, what's an object for a teacher or a rabbi? A ruler. You know, it's funny because the ruler was the one that jumped in my mind too, and I was like, I'm going to give all these, you know, Catholic school kids a PTSD. I was thinking of an apple, right? Bring an apple for the teacher. But a ruler jumped in my head too. That's funny. What's another aspect? Who is Christ? That's one, yeah, that was my second one that jumped in me too. So what would be a good object to show Jesus was a healer? What'd you say? That's what I thought too. I wrote it down, stethoscope. So we see that in Mark 2:17 and Matthew 14:14. You know, in Mark 2:17, he's called the great physician. It's a cool name, isn't it? I don't know about rabbi. What would you do for a rabbi? Like a little headdress or something, maybe, or a rope? my grandmother, she hosted this Bible study. She lived in a trailer park at the south end of town here. And she would host a Bible study in her house. Did they do it every week? Do you remember? It was every week. And she would host a Christmas party every year. And she would make gifts for everybody who came to a Bible study and wrap them. And I get excited as a little kid when it was Christmas party time because there was fudge hidden around Grandma's trailer, you know. But she got into calligraphy for a while. And she wrote out Luke chapter 2 in calligraphy on a scroll. And then she would pick a different guy from the Bible study every year and make them dress up like, you know, a shepherd and read the Bible story from her calligraphy scroll. And, you know, the guys would all complain, oh, it's my turn. it was cute. It was oh, yeah. No, some people might remember my grandma Mary. Yep, she was here for a while. So a rabbi, the headdress. Think of this one, protector. Matthew 21:12, you know, flipping those tables over, saying, you know, you don't turn the house of God into a den of thieves. I don't know, what would that object look like? Shotgun? You can always count on Marcus for participation. Kathy's hiding her head. I like it. Second Amendment. How about a leader? What object jumps out as you think of Jesus, the leader? Kind of a little trickier one, but I did. Yeah. Yours was a staff. What's the first thing that jumped in your head? Anybody have something different? Followers. Yeah, the leader has followers. I thought of a towel because he was a servant leader. And, you know, and you think about the foot washing, he led by serving and, you know, washed the disciples' feet. And it's different, isn't it? He's a different kind of leader. Creator in John 1:1, Colossians 1:16, many other places. I don't know what he would do for that one, maybe a globe or something like that. Shepherd, yeah. Yeah, I was. And then what's cool about that is and I didn't even write that one down on my list. Thanks for adding that one, Dave. But what's ironic about you bringing that up right now is the next one I thought of was the Lamb of God. So not only was he the shepherd, but he was the Lamb. And Steve was talking a little bit this morning. He's sharing about the rapture and talking about the shofar. And I didn't realize that they blew the shofar on Passover. And that when Jesus died, they blew the shofar that night because that signified when they were supposed to sacrifice the lamb for Passover. And he was the lamb slain for the sins of the world. I just thought that was cool. That was a neat little tidbit that you brought out this morning in Sunday school. You know, and then the one that we haven't seen yet, but that we're going to see, is the lion. And, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Revelation 5:5. So all these different aspects of Christ, this is the goal of our maturity. And you look at all the different aspects of us, and, you know, we all have a little bit of the protective aspect. We all have the teaching aspect. We all have these different aspects. And I think we can just relax, but have confidence. And our confidence isn't necessarily in ourselves and our own ability, but it's the confidence that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, this mystery that's been revealed to us as saints. And that we know, because he says so, we don't have to understand it, we don't have to know specifically what our gifts are, but we know that we have them because the Bible says so, that we have these gifts, and he's placed us in the body of Christ where it's pleased him, and that we have his energy working in us, to work mightily these gifts through ministry and through our activities. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are today, and you are just so multifaceted, and you're beautiful, and we just love that you lived among your own people, and you were a servant leader, and you led your flock with just tender care to the great shepherd, and you just challenged Peter, "You love me? Feed my sheep." And so we know our role, God. We know you care about your people. And may we just be tender and compassionate. And may we flip those tables over when it's time to flip the tables over. But we know that those 99% compassion and gentleness and healing and love. And so, God, I just ask you give us wisdom to be a good steward of those gifts and ministries that you've called us to. And we thank you that you've given us our place in the body of Christ. And may we walk with our head held high, knowing we're the King's kid, and that even when we make mistakes, we're still your kid, and that you're just going to steer us, and you'll correct us when you need to, but we're not to quit, we're to keep going. So we thank you for your word today, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.